This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. I've got another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime for you this Wednesday, beginning with Richard Diamond, private detective. We'll hear his story from March 9th, 1951, The Butcher Shop. After that, it's Boston Blackie and Murder at the Circus, his story from April 14th, 1948.
The makers of Camel cigarettes present Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective. Other cigarette has Camel's rich, full flavor, the flavor of Camel's costly tobaccos.
And no other cigarette gives you this proof of mildness. In a coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people who smoked only Camels for 30 days, noted throat specialists reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels.
Make a note. Think of your throat. Try Camels. Here transcribed is Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell.
Now, in my business, I run into a lot of people, make a few friends, and a lot of enemies. I remember a few weeks ago when one of those friends walked all the way over from 31st Street to tell me about his trouble and leave me a share of it. His name is Angelino Giuseppe, and he runs a butcher shop. Little guy with a big, broad stomach and a smile to match. I met him when I was on the force. Used to stop in and buy some cold cuts or a pound of bacon. I liked his smile, and I always hung around for one of his bad jokes. But when he came into my office that afternoon, pushing his big stomach in front of him, I spotted trouble right away. The smile was gone. Well, well, Angelino.
Hello, Mr. Diamond.
Haven't seen you in a long time. Come stai?
Sto male.
Yeah, I can tell. Oh, what's the trouble? The pig's knuckles got arthritis?
Pig's knuckles?
That's better now. That's more like my answer.
You always kidding. You make it easy to smile.
Yeah. Accetti.
Grazie. Grazie.
All right, Angie, let's have it. What's wrong?
Well, I'm going to ask you to do something. I can't pay you.
Hmm? We'll talk about it later.
You can take it out in a trade.
That'll run into a lot of ham hocks, Angelino.
I want to pay you.
Well, I can always throw a barbecue. Now tell me about it.
Well, you see, it's like this. I come to you as a sort of a representative from all the other butcher shops, the independent ones.
I see.
I ain't the only one that's worried, so all the butchers got together last night and decided to do something about it.
All of the independent butcher shops?
That's right. Every week, a couple of guys come around and collect. Now, if we don't pay, we get our shops bust up, and if that ain't enough, we get our heads bust too. Look, see, I still got 3 stitches right here in the top of my head.
Oh, I see. That's a nice job. Doctor must have used a loom.
I got this last week when these 2 guys came for the money. I couldn't pay, so one of them hit me with a blackjack.
Oh, that's too bad. What about the law, Angelino? That'd give you the right kind of protection.
Well, we discussed that at the meeting, but we decided it was too dangerous. We've been warned. If we go to the police, we get hurt bad. Well, we all got families, Mr. Diamond. We can't take the chance.
Now, have the 2 men who beat you up been back?
No, but they will be.
Okay, let's go.
Well, we're going someplace?
Yep, we are going someplace. You don't know it, Angie, but you just hired yourself a new assistant.
I have?
You certainly have. Come on, I want you to show me how to carve a lox. Well, that's what happens when your reputation gets around the butcher shops. I'd been telling Angelino what a great detective I was for the past 10 years, but I should have known he'd never take my word for it, so I had to prove it. We went out, grabbed a cab, and 15 minutes later, I was standing behind the butcher shop counter. Angelino handed me a white apron.
I don't get it. Why you want to be a butcher?
Angie, you want me to get a line on these guys who do the collecting, don't you?
Why, sure.
Well, I can only think of two ways. I could watch them and not look suspicious. Make like a butcher, or crawl in with the ground round.
Crawl in.
Think of what would happen if someone looked down for the price of ground round and caught it staring back at them.
Callista, that's so funny.
Oh, now, come on, Angie. It wasn't that funny.
Well, make... Customer.
Huh? Nothing like learning firsthand. Let me handle the sale.
Well, you think you can?
Sure. Here she comes.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Hennessy.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Angelino. Well, business must be good. I see you have a new butcher.
Oh, yes. Mr.
Hangtooth.
Mr. Hangtooth?
Hangtooth?
Good morning, Mrs. Hennessy. Is something I can do for you?
Oh, yes. How much is the lamb shoulder today?
Which one?
What?
Look, maybe you better let me...
Relax, Angie. I'll make it. Which shoulder would you like, Mrs. Hennessy?
Is there a difference, young man?
Oh, yes. You see, this lamb here is really a ram.
A ram?
That's right. Hurt his shoulder playing against the Cardinals last season. We're also selling his shoulder pads at 21 cents a pound.
Mr. Angelino...
You'll find him hanging in the back with the spare ribs. Now, Mrs. Hennessy, if you can tell me which shoulder you want, I'll wrap it up and send it off tackle between the liver and the...
Well, I never...
Of course you haven't. That's the trouble with you people. Here's a nice little ram that played his heart out. And oh, by the way, the heart is special today, 11 cents a pound. Angie.
She's gone, huh?
Like laundry in a tornado.
But what do you want to do that for, Mr. Diamond? She was one of my best customers.
I wanted to get her out of here. I wanted to get her out in a hurry. Just as she came in, I spotted two guys heading this way. When they saw her, they backed off. Look, they're standing across the street right now.
Where?
Right over there. You see them? In front of the drugstore.
Yeah. That's them.
It is?
They're the ones that hit me. They're the ones that come around collecting.
Well, they're coming again. You better duck. I'll take care of it.
Well, listen, please, you be careful. They're pretty rough monkeys.
Go on, Angie, and beat it. They're almost here.
All right. I'll be in the back.
Okay. A mile can a cigarette be? Make the camel 30-day test and you... Well, good morning, gentlemen. What can I do for you?
Hey, where's Angelino?
Oh, well, he's out buying some old buffalo. I'm the new assistant.
Buffalo? Shut up. Well, tell me, new assistant, when'll he be back?
Well, it's hard to say, gentlemen. These buffalo are in Wyoming.
Oh, yeah? Carl, I think this guy's trying to be funny.
You, my friend, wend yourself a lamb chop. How'll you have it, with or without the bloomers?
Hey, you know something, Red? I think you're right. Hey, what's your name, laughing boy?
Hangtooth.
Hangtooth?
Oh, I'm going to have more fun with that. Blows everybody.
Well, look, Hangtooth, you know who we are?
How many guesses?
You won't need even one. We're in a hurry. We're collectors.
Oh, well, we put all the scraps out and back in a can. You can't miss it.
I don't like you.
Well, I have a friend. Maybe we could double date.
Look, let's stop the clowning. If Angelino didn't tell you about us, it's going to be too bad for you. We're here for some money. We get every week $25.
Yeah, last week Angelino didn't have it, so he accidentally hit his head. We figured that all that blood would make him remember it this week.
Well, I'm sorry, friend, but Angie didn't say anything about it. Tell me, what does he pay you boys for?
Oh, little things. Protection, mostly. You see, if he paid us last week, he wouldn't have hit his head.
You know something? I know a big, fat cop who would just love to hear all about this protection Angie's paying you for.
You do, huh?
Yeah, I do, huh?
Well, look. Seeing as how you're a new boy around here, maybe we ought to tell you first.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah, let's go in the back.
I like it here. I listen better.
Oh, you do, huh?
Is that all you guys can say? Now get out from behind that counter.
I want to explain the thing to you. Yeah, go on, Red. Explain it to Mr. Hangtooth.
Hangtooth?
You'll have to partner me. He don't hear so well.
How's your hearing, Hank Toot?
Depends on what I'm listening to.
Well, listen to this real good. Seeing as how you're working for Angelino, you're gonna need protection too. So let's have the $25.
I want to know what I'm buying.
Oh, sure.
Hey, hit him this time. Hey, a rough one.
Yeah, you're bleeding.
Yeah. Want to get rough, Hank Toot?
Hey, you're liable to kill him.
Yeah.
Let him alone. Hey, we better get out of here.
Yeah. We'll come back for Angelino later.
Well, you really can't blame brave little old me for going to sleep at that point. One, I could have handled. But in that cramped space behind the counter, with both of them coming from different directions, I had to give it up sooner or later. And I did for about 20 minutes. When I finally snapped out of it, I looked up and saw three heads staring down at me. Two herring with Angelino in the middle.
Mr. Diamond, you're right.
Oh, lovely.
Here, let me help you get up.
Swell. Now, look for my eyes, will you, Angie?
I didn't know what to do. I guess I should have called the police.
Oh, fine time to tell me. Let me sit down.
When I thought about calling the police, I also thought about my family. Those two men might beat up my family just like this.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Mr. Diamond, please, you better forget about this. It's too dangerous. When they come back, I'll pay them the money and nobody gets hurt.
Look, Angie, I can understand why you're scared. Those two headhunters aren't kidding, but you can't let them get away with it.
I can and I will. I ain't taking no more chances. First they bust up my shop, and then they bust up me, and now you. No thanks. I got enough.
Okay, Angie, but not me.
What are you going to do?
Well, I got a sore face and a nasty disposition. I won't get back to normal until I find those two guys and tie their necks in a bow. I left Angelino's shop and headed for the 5th Precinct Police Station. I wanted to look up two sure bets for the police gallery. One named Carl and the other Red. Two guys who went around scaring poor little businessmen like Angelino. By the time I reached the station, the aches from the beating were making me very unhappy. And when I walked into the squad room, I spotted something that didn't make things any better.
Yeah, what are you... Holy cow, Diamond.
Well, Sergeant Otis, I'm glad you noticed. Means I put myself together all right.
What happened to you?
Don't be silly. I always bleed just before lunch.
Well, how did it happen?
It wasn't easy. Is the lieutenant in?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, thanks. Say, Otis, when are you going to start shaving in the morning?
Why? What's wrong?
Your 5 o'clock shadow is 4 hours fast.
Oh.
How are you, Walt?
Wow. What hit you?
Well, the bruises show up. I come on in Technicolor.
Someone sure did a good job.
Yeah. That someone is two guys, Walt. One named Red and the other Carl.
Red and Carl.
Yeah. I got closest to Red. Name matches the hair. Busted nose, about 190. Very nasty with a sap.
And Carl?
Dark, greasy. Well-dressed, if you like the type. Big boy with a scar under his right eye. I gave Walt the complete descriptions and briefed him on what had happened in Angelino's shop. We went down to the mug file and started going through pictures. 20 minutes and 8 dozen charming photographs later, I found what I was looking for. I showed them to Walt, and he said... Now, you know him?
Yeah, Carl Tate and Red Dillon. Here's the package. Dozen arrests, half a dozen convictions between them.
Very impressive.
Couple of muscle men. What do they go after you for?
I've been pulling a protection racket on some of the independent butcher shops. Who do they work for?
He used to work for Jack Arno before he got sent up.
I know they're not working this setup alone. It's too big.
No, they wouldn't be. Hey, Tiny Easter's in town.
Tiny Easter? Oh, used to be Arno's right-hand boy.
That's right. Came in about a month ago. I'd love to get something on him. Nobody's ever been able to nail him.
Well, it adds up. He used to work for Arno, and so did Carl Tate and Red Dillon.
Well, we can't pick him up just because two of his boys worked you over. He'd just say they weren't his boys.
I don't want him picked up. I want Carl and Red. If Easter goes along with the deal, you can have him.
What are you going to do?
Get cleaned up and pay Mr. Tiny Easter a visit. What's his address?
He's got an office on East 48th Street, 804.
Thanks, Walt.
Tiny's a bad boy.
I'll take along my .38 just in case I have to spank him. I left Walt, went back to my office, took a clean shirt out of the closet, washed up. Locked up again, went down to the street. I grabbed a cab, and 20 minutes later, I was standing in the reception room of Tiny Easter's office. A big guy with a bulge under his arm was trying to be as unreceptive as possible.
So you want to see Easter? You have an appointment?
No, I haven't got an appointment. Now, tell Easter I'm out here.
What's your name?
Oh, you're going to get hung up on this.
What do you mean?
The name's Hangtooth.
What?
I see. Now, make like an office boy and tell Easter I got a message for him from Carl and Red.
You're a pretty fresh guy, aren't you?
Yeah, and I'm going to spoil if I have to stand around much longer.
You can spoil rotten for all I care. You're not going to see Easter. He's busy.
Okay. You know, you get so excited, you'll ruin your stomach someday.
Oh, I don't think so.
You don't, huh? Skeptic.
What are you on?
I'm collecting scalps.
How'd you get by a lefty?
He's tied up with a stomach ache, swallowed a fist.
Okay, so you got muscles. Also, you got a pushed-in face. Lefty do that?
Carl Tate and his blood brother, Red.
Oh? What you come to me for?
They're working for you, aren't they?
You smell like a cop.
Name's Hangtooth.
I doubt it.
Good for you. I'd hate to go through that again. I'm a private cop.
Well, now, good for you.
I was in a butcher shop when your two boys wandered in and started playing squash with me. I don't like to get pushed around, Easter, and I don't like your racket. I want Carl and Red, and if I get you along with them, the state will hang a medal on me.
Looks like you got nothing to lose.
Don't look at it any way you like. Now, what about your two playmates?
I don't know what you're talking about, Shamus. Never heard of those two guys.
I don't think you understand, Tiny. I'm pretty mad. I'm going to find these two guys, and I'm going to do it even if I have to be unpleasant with you.
Just what do you mean by unpleasant, Mr. Hangtooth?
You break a leg, that's unpleasant.
Ow!
Don't try to pull a gun on me.
You busted my hand. Take your foot off.
Drop the gun in the drawer. Okay.
My hand's busted.
I'll take the hand out empty.
Oh.
Now, let me explain it again. If you go out and shoot 12 people tomorrow, I'm going to be sore about it. But when you start intimidating a bunch of hard-working little guys and their families, I go off like a skyrocket. And then when a couple of your cheap gunsels push me around, I explode.
I tell you, I don't know these guys.
Oh!
Look, Easter, please believe me.
I don't know them.
You worked with them in Chicago. I'm telling you the truth, Easter. I'll work you over till you look like an eggplant in a subway.
Look, whatever your name is, I got boys. They'll take care of you.
Who's going to tell them to do it?
I am.
With your jaw broken?
Ooh.
Now, where do I find Carl and Red?
Oh, you knocked all my teeth loose.
I got 31 to go. I guess you really don't understand.
Yes, I understand. Ooh.
Now, where are they? You still need some encouragement?
No. In the warehouse by the 14th Street docks.
What warehouse?
Rogers and Sons. Big sign on the top.
You mind if I use your phone?
Go ahead.
Don't you know it's not polite to listen, Easter?
Well, what do you want me to do?
Go to sleep.
No!
Before we continue with Richard Diamond, here are a few words about smoking enjoyment.
More people smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
That's right. More people smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Behind Camel's great popularity are the two things that mean steady smoking enjoyment: flavor and mildness.
No other cigarette has the rich, full flavor of Camel's costly tobaccos. Tobaccos that are properly aged and expertly blended.
And no other cigarette gives you this proof of mildness. In a coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people who smoked only Camels for 30 days, noted throat specialists reported
Not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels. Make your own Camel 30-day test, the sensible test, based not on a puff or a sniff, but on day-in, day-out smoking. You'll see how flavorful Camels are and how well Camels get along with your throat, pack after pack.
How mild, how mild, how mild, how mild, how mild can a cigarette be? Make the Camel 30-day test and you'll see. Smoke Camels and see.
And now back to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. I put in a call to Walt and told him what had happened. He said he'd send a couple of men down to pick up Easter and agreed to meet me at the warehouse. It was getting late in the afternoon when my cab pulled up near the river and I got out. The cold breeze was kicking up little patches of white on the water, and the light fog was moving in from the Atlantic as I started down toward a big building with a sign on the top that read, Rogers & Sons Importing. The place was boarded up, but a window in the basement showed signs of recent use, so I jimmied it open and dropped down on the dark, cold pavement. I held my breath and listened. The place was as quiet as a tomb, so I moved across the room until I found a flight of stairs and went up to the main floor. I opened a door and listened again.
It sure is getting cold in here.
Yeah.
How long are we going to have to stay here?
Till Easter tells us to leave. Now relax.
It was Carl and Red, all right. They were somewhere in the warehouse, so I kept on my toes and moved as quietly as possible toward the voices.
You want to play some cards or something?
Yeah, it's okay with me.
I don't know why we got to hide out like this.
Because Easter said to, that's why. We got to stay cool till he finds out about that guy we worked over this morning.
Hagtooth?
Yeah. Might have been a cop.
So what? We were cops over before. I'm cold.
Look, just steal a card. Yeah? What? He did, huh? Hey! Hey, what's the matter? Boss! Hey!
What's the matter?
I don't know. That was Easter. The guy we worked over was in his office, tied him up. He got loose, but the guy's headed down here.
Hagtooth?
Yeah. Just as Easter was going to say what to do, sound like he got in a fight.
The cops?
Yeah. I think we better get out of here.
Afternoon, boy.
Huh?
Hagtooth.
Come back here, Carl.
Help me.
You shouldn't have pulled a gun, Red.
Since when do you butchers carry rods?
Since we get pushed around by guys like you.
You're the doctor. I'm shot mad.
I can't take it back. The law will be here in a minute.
You're a lousy butcher. I hope Carl pays you good.
I'll see that he gets the chance to try. I left Red lying on his face and ran toward the front of the building. The only way out was that window in the back, and Carl was sure to be hiding somewhere in the dark, hoping to get around me and head for the basement. There were a dozen places to hide in that warehouse, but I had one advantage. He couldn't see me any better than I could see him. I stopped and listened. Come on, Carl. Red's hurt pretty bad, and the law's on the way. You gotta get me before you can get out of here. Carl! Come on, Carl, give it up. You're stuck and you know it. Carl! I had his position pretty well spotted. By his gun flashes, I could tell he was edging his way toward another large pile of packing cases. I moved off to my left, still keeping his approximate position in line with my gun barrel. It was my idea to circle him, but something changed my mind. A metal ladder stretched down from the ceiling and led up to a catwalk overhead. I went up, one rung at a time, half turned to keep Carl in line in case he made a break. After what seemed like hours, I reached the catwalk and started crawling on my hands and knees toward Carl's position. I was nearly over him when I heard the door open.
Rick! Lieutenant? Yeah? Here's one of them. He's shot up pretty bad. Rick! Come on, Otis. Maybe he's up that way.
I couldn't answer him, and he was heading right for Carl. I kept looking down, hoping Carl would show himself. Walt got nearer, and I held my breath. Just then, Carl stepped out and aimed his gun at him. I beat him to it.
Lieutenant, shut up.
It's okay, Walt. I got him.
Where are you?
I'm up here on the... Oh.
There he is up there. Rick. Good grief.
Yeah, good grief. Get Otis out of here, will you?
What's so funny, Lieutenant? If you knew Otis, you could rib Diamond for the rest of his life.
Yeah? Walt.
Come on, tell me what it is.
Walt?
Okay. Get out of here, Otis.
Oh, Lieutenant.
You heard him, Otis. Now beat it.
Yeah, go on, Otis.
Oh, gee, Lieutenant, won't you even...
No, he won't. Now you beat it. It's real funny, isn't it?
It sure is.
I just saved your life, and you stand down there, and you... Oh.
Well, don't look down.
Get the fire department.
Don't you ever think about these things before you start climbing ladders?
Well, it was the only way I could get in a position to shoot. I just didn't think.
For a guy who can't stand high places...
Walt.
Well, it's your own fault.
Fault, smalt. Get me down. I'm getting dizzy.
Only about 50 feet to the floor.
Walt!
Great big boy like you.
If you don't get the fire department...
Okay.
Oh, you big fat ox. I hate you.
Dick Powell will return in just a minute. According to a repeated nationwide survey... More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Again, doctors in every branch of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country have been asked what cigarette they smoke. Again, the brand name most was Camel. Friends, make the sensible cigarette test. Smoke only Camels for 30 days, and you'll see why so many people say, once a Camel smoker, always a Camel smoker. And remember, your best buy is Camels by the carton.
How mild, how mild, how mild,
how mild, how mild can a cigarette be?
Take the Camel 30-day test and you'll see.
Smoke Camels and see.
Here's Dick Powell with a special message.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, many men who have served valiantly in our armed forces are hospitalized. And as a tribute, the makers of Camels... send them gift cigarettes to hospitals in the country and overseas. This week's Camels go to Veterans Hospitals, Dallas, Texas, and Phoenix, Arizona, U.S. Naval Hospital, Pensacola, Florida, and to all hospitals operated by the European Command of the U.S. Army. Now, until next week, enjoy Camels. I always do.
Powell can now be seen starring in the RKO film Cry Danger. Tonight's adventure of Richard Diamond was written by Blake Edwards with music by Frank Worth. Our director is Helen Mack. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Wilms Herbert, and Arthur Q. Bryan.
Men, whether you buy the handy pocket tin or the big 1-pound tin of Prince Albert, you're in for real smoking joy. PA's Choice Tobacco has a rich taste and delightful natural aroma. It's specially treated to ensure against tongue bite. And it's crimp cut for smooth, even, cool smoking. Get Prince Albert, the National Joy Smoke, America's largest selling smoking tobacco.
Listen next week for another exciting transcribed adventure of Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell.
Blackie.
Threats won't get you nowhere with me, Mary. You know that.
Oh, you won't take me to the circus.
Not tonight. Some other time, maybe, but not tonight. Tell you what I'll do, though.
Mm.
I'll get tickets for,
The telephone, Blackie.
Tickets for the telephone? Now, what would a telephone do at a circus?
Please.
Just a second. Hello.
Blackie, this is Faraday.
Inspector, this is a pleasant surprise. What can I do for you?
As if you'd do it. Blackie, you know where I am?
Do you know?
Of course I do. I'm at the circus.
Gosh, how much does it cost to see you?
You can see me for nothing, but I don't want to see you. Do you understand? I don't want you near this place.
A murder at the circus, Faraday?
Yeah, murder at the circus, Faraday. A guy named Rondo, a magician, got himself killed.
Didn't have to be a magician for that.
All I wanted to tell you was to keep away from here. Now, so long, Blackie.
Huh? What was that all about?
I think I know, but I'm not sure. Mary, what did you want me to do tonight?
Why, take me to the circus, of course.
Mary, my girl, you've talked me into it.
Now on to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
Bolton will be here in just a minute, Louise. He knows we're waiting for him.
Don't worry about the ringmaster. He knows better than to be late.
The police are all over the circus.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things they mustn't find out, Louise. You know that.
Poor Rondo.
Cut that out.
Come in.
Hello, Louise, Charlie. What's going on?
Look, Bolton, we want to talk to you.
Go ahead.
It's about Rondo's murder.
His murder?
The police say it was murder. It was made to look like an accident. But Inspector Faraday thinks somebody cut the rope that held Rondo's trunk in the air.
Yeah, that must be what the inspector wants to see me about. Now, why he wants to see me, I don't know.
Now, look, Mr. Bolton, you don't know what I want to see about either, so I'll tell you. This killing was done in the circus. And I guess it was done by one of us circus people.
Well?
No matter what we know or think we know, let's keep it in the circus. It might be a very good idea for everybody concerned.
Step right up, ladies. Get popped on, showing gum, like a jack.
There's Faraday over there, Mary.
Where? I don't see him, Blackie.
Over next to the monkey cage.
Huh?
The one who needs a shave is the inspector.
Oh, no,
come on.
No, I'd rather stay here and look at the animals. I didn't come to the circus to see the inspector.
All right, I'll pick you up in a little while. Don't get too close to the lions' cages, Mary.
Why not? I like lions.
Sure, but maybe they're like you. See you later.
Bye.
Hello, Faraday.
Oh, hello, Blackie. About time you got here.
What are you talking about? You told me on the phone to stay away.
Sure I did. That's the quickest way to get you here, isn't it?
You want me on a case, Inspector? Well, that's a switch.
I don't want you. So happens I need you.
Inspector, how will I ever explain this to Mary?
Now, shut up, Blackie, and listen.
All right.
The magician that was killed was named Rondo.
Yeah.
They used to handcuff him, put him in a trunk, lock it, put ropes around it, then hoist it over a big tank full of water.
And they put a screen around the water, they lowered the trunk into the water, and a second later, Rondo came swimming up to the top.
That's right.
Thank you.
Only last night, while the trunk was being pulled up in the air, the rope that was pulling it was cut. It fell into the water. By the time the workman got into the tank and raised the trunk, Rondo was drowned.
I understand what happened. The arena was in darkness, of course.
Yeah. There was a spotlight on Rondo until he got into the trunk. Then the spot stayed on the trunk. Now, why I wanted you here was to tell me how that trunk gimmick worked.
How Rondo got out?
How he should have gotten out. I understand he's the only guy around who does the trick, and you know all about things like that. So tell me, how is it done?
You think that might be a clue to the killer? To whoever cut the rope?
Well, I don't overlook anything. Although I'd be glad to make an exception in your case. No?
That scream came from that dressing room right over there. Come on, Faraday.
Let's go. All you have to do is show up. Things start to happen. Here's the dressing room it came from. All right, what's going on in here? What happened?
Apparently the young lady on the floor is in no condition to answer you, old pal. Just a second. Miss! Miss!
She's alive, isn't she?
She's just fainted. Hand me that water. Come on, Inspector, move!
Okay, now I'm taking orders from the guy.
Miss. Miss. Never mind, Faraday, she's coming too.
Oh.
What happened to you? Tell me what made you scream.
What made you scream, miss?
Huh, there's an echo in the place.
Somebody opened the back door. Threw a knife. Just missed me. Screamed in pain.
Well, here's the knife, Blackie, in this closet door. Did you see who did it, miss?
No. I just saw a figure at the door. It's all just a figure.
That's a big help. Well, Blackie?
You know what? Want to know what the answer is?
Yeah?
No. Faraday, as soon as I help this young lady up, I'll help you out.
Pretty good.
Oh, must you practice throwing knives, Charlie?
Sure, if I expect to be a knife thrower with the circus I do. What's the matter? Make you nervous?
Oh, you know somebody threw a knife at me a couple hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know that I screamed and it brought that detective and Boston Blackie into my dressing room?
Which one did you make a play for, Louise?
Oh, stop it, Charlie. I quit all that when you and I got married.
Shut up, shut up.
It's all right, Charlie. There's nobody here but us two. Suppose I do have to be single to keep my job on the trapeze. I don't have to keep my marriage a secret from my husband.
You never told Rondo you were married to me.
I didn't tell anybody.
I got an idea why you didn't tell that magician. Because he was making passes at you ever since we went into training in Florida.
Oh, he didn't mean a thing to
me.
Well,
he doesn't mean anything to anybody. No.
Charlie.
Yeah?
Was it you that threw the knife at me a little while ago?
Yes, it was.
Charlie.
Oh, don't Charlie me. I threw it and I missed you on purpose. Just to show you who's boss around here. Next time you give me reason to throw a knife, I won't miss. And that'll be on purpose, too.
Well, Fernie, I've looked the circus over. I've sent Mary home, and I have a couple of ideas for you.
It's about time. All right, how did that guy get out of the handcuffs from the trunk?
I'll explain that later. It's got nothing to do with his death, I'll guarantee that.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to guarantee you?
Me.
If that has nothing to do with his death, what has?
I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. What's the matter, genius? Slowing down? Look, I think... Hey, Bolton! Come over here, Bolton!
Right, Inspector.
Who's that guy, Bolton?
You mean there is something you don't know? That's the ringmaster. His name is Bolton.
Oh, Bolton. I'd never have known.
Bolton. Yeah, this is Boston Blackie.
Hello.
Glad to know you, Blackie.
You won't be.
I'm glad you're here, Bolton. I want you to tell me the details of Rondo's routine.
Yeah, me too.
How he made his entrance and everything.
Okay. The arena was in darkness with a spotlight following Rondo as he walked to the center of the ring where his assistants handcuffed him and bound his ankles and then placed him in the trunk and locked it.
Then what?
Well, then Rondo, handcuffed and bound, was placed in the trunk. It was locked. Then it was raised and swung over the water tank over there.
Yeah. Then it was supposed to be lowered into the water. But the rope running from the pulley to where the fellow was pulling it up was cut about halfway up. I saw the rope.
The rope was cut halfway up?
Yes, according to the inspector, but nobody could have climbed up to cut it.
Well, then it must have been partially cut beforehand.
Or a knife thrown at it, which reminds me of the knife that was thrown at that trapeze performer, Louise.
Hey, that's right. You know...
Inspector, look out, Doc!
What was that?
Hey, there's a knife in that pole over there.
It came from the entrance over there.
Thanks, Bolton. Come on, Faraday.
Right.
See, he's throwing knives at us.
Careful, Blackie. There might be more where that came from. There's a guy over there, and with a knife in his hand. What looks like a blindfold in the other hand.
Hey, you, stay where you are.
What happened? Where'd that knife go? I threw it blindfolded. I didn't hear it hit anything.
It hit something, all right. A pole out in the arena. It almost hit Inspector Faraday on the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, who are you?
Charlie Peterson. I work here.
Yeah, I remember. I talked to you. You didn't tell me you're a knife thrower.
Well, I'm not. I'm just practicing to be one. I'm just a circus hand right now.
Oh, no, you're not, Peterson. You're not just a circus hand.
Huh?
You're my number one suspect in the murder of Rondo.
Who is it?
Boston Blackie. May I come in?
All right.
You're Louise Brainerd, aren't you, the trapeze artist?
Yes, I am. I haven't had a chance to thank you for helping me when I fainted.
No trouble, Louise. I have a message for you from Charlie Peterson.
A message?
Yes, he said you were his girlfriend, and he wants you to know.
I know I'm his girlfriend.
That isn't the message. Charlie wanted me to tell you that he's been arrested for Rondo's murder.
Charlie?
The police think he killed Rondo because he threw a knife that almost killed Inspector Faraday. He claims it was an accident. He was throwing blindfolded, he said.
But he practiced throwing knives, but he didn't kill Rondo. Charlie was with me, back here in my dressing room during Rondo's act.
He was?
Yes.
Would you tell that to the police at headquarters?
Sure. Will you wait outside while I change into street clothes?
Of course. I'll be right outside, Louise.
Whoa!
What,
Oh, hello, Blackie.
Bolton, is it a part of a ringmaster's job to eavesdrop?
Oh, I couldn't help it, Blackie. I was there when Charlie was arrested, and I wasn't surprised, but I wanted to hear what his girlfriend had to say.
You weren't surprised? Why not?
And Charlie was jealous of Rondo. Rondo was always trying to date Louise.
Oh, then you think Charlie killed Rondo, do you?
I don't know anything about that, Blackie, but I do know this. I heard Louise say that Charlie was with her in this dressing room when Rondo was killed. That's not so.
It isn't? Where was he?
Standing next to Rondo at the arena entrance when the spotlight went on. I saw him there myself.
And now back to Boston Blackie. Rondo, circus magician, is drowned when a trunk in which he is bound and handcuffed is lowered into a tank of water by a rope. Ordinarily, the trunk is lowered only halfway down in the tank. But this time, the rope breaks, and the trunk crashes to the floor of the tank. Both Boston Blackie and Inspector Faraday think Rondo has been murdered, and an amateur knife thrower, Charlie Peterson, has been arrested for the crime. As we return to our story, a circus barker and peanut vendor are working.
Peanuts, popcorn, and chewing gum.
Just hey, Bobby.
Yeah?
What do you think of the mess Charlie Peterson's got himself into?
They say he might think of any mess. His girlfriend Louise is in it with him.
Yeah?
She told this fellow Boston Blackie that Charlie was with her during Rondo's act, but that was a lie.
Where's Charlie now?
In jail. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they took Louise down, made her admit she was lying.
No kidding.
Yeah, she said it was just to protect Charlie, but I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah, all I know is I guess we better get back to work.
Yeah. So long.
So long. Peanuts, popcorn.
Bolton, I know you're through work for the night, but I still have to talk to you.
Oh, can't it wait until morning, Blackie?
No, it can't. Now, you went through a whole routine about Rondo's act, and it was swell, except for one thing.
Well, what's that? I have no reason for holding out anything.
Maybe Faraday and I didn't ask you the right questions. I'm taking care of that matter right now.
Well, I'm pretty tired.
From what? Being a ringmaster isn't too much of a strain on you, is it?
Well, that's on your mind, Blackie.
You told us that Rondo, inside the trunk, of course, was hoisted up over a tank. Now, how was that done?
Well, there was a pulley set up over the tank. A rope went down one side of the pulley and was wrapped around the trunk. Then it went down the other side of the pulley, and one of the roustabouts pulled the rope up to raise the trunk and released the rope to lower the trunk.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I wanted to make sure. Which roustabout did it, Bolton?
Which one?
Is there something wrong with the way I speak or the way you hear?
Well, the rope was handled by a fellow named Joe Marcole. He handled it every performance.
Thanks. Now I'm going to see Mr. Marcole and just ask him one question, and that is, what do you know, Joe?
Who is it?
Fellow who wants to talk to you.
Come on in and talk.
Hello, Joe.
Who are you? Besides a guy who don't know enough to go home, the circus is closed for the night.
Maybe the circus is closed, but this case isn't. And Boston Blackie.
Huh?
I understand you worked the rope that dropped Rondo's trunk into that tank.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, you were holding it when it broke.
That's right. But I've held it 100 times when it didn't break.
But why did it break this time, Joe? You ought to know.
What makes you think so?
It broke because it was frayed, didn't it? And you knew it.
I did?
Yeah.
You think I'd have used it if it was frayed?
If you wanted something to happen to Rondo, you would.
I could punch you in the nose for that.
What are you waiting for?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. Now, do you want to get up off the floor and try that again? Or did that settle the argument?
What do you want?
Was that rope frayed before the act, or wasn't it?
I don't know. I forgot to inspect the rope this time.
You don't know whether it was frayed or not, huh? Joe, it wouldn't be that you were afraid to tell me.
Hey, Mr. Bolton, you awake?
Yeah. Who is it?
Me, Joe.
And what do you want?
Got to talk to you. I got something you want to hear.
What is it?
Let me come in and tell you. It's important.
Yeah, it must be if you have to talk to me at this time of night. All right, come on in.
Thanks.
All right, what is it?
And what happened to your jaw?
Boston Blackie knocked me down because I wouldn't tell him what I know.
What was that?
You know. It's what I saw.
What you saw? When?
When that rope broke, Mr. Bolton, Rondo was killed.
Joe, go back to bed and stop dreaming out loud.
It wasn't any dream, Mr. Bolton. I saw you do it. I was standing in the dark, and so were you. But you were between me and the spotlight on that trunk, and I saw what you did.
Uh-huh. And you told Blackie what you saw?
No. And I won't.
If what?
You know. A little money now, a little then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Joe, do you know what can be done with a whip?
Sure. A lot of things.
Yeah. You ever seen me take my whip like this and wrap it around someone's neck like this?
No.
No! That you saw me was an accident, Joe, but it's nothing like the accident that's going to happen to you.
They found Joe's body right here, Blackie.
Whoever killed him wanted it to look as if he'd fallen from the trapeze platform up there.
Yeah.
He was obviously strangled, though, apparently.
Yeah, I know. We're having a lot of trouble with rope on this case, aren't we?
We'll have a lot more trouble proving Charlie Peterson did this killing.
Maybe.
Let him go, Faraday, and his girlfriend, too.
Oh, I let her go last night.
She was here last night?
Who knows?
I'll know as soon as I see her, which will be right now if she's right here.
Come in.
Packing to go somewhere, Louise?
Hello, Blackie.
Well,
yeah, I'm packing. Quitting the circus.
Why?
Because of the way everybody looks at me. They think I'm the reason Charlie killed Rondo.
Oh. You know you can't leave town, don't you?
I'm gonna stay in town until Charlie's freed.
That sounds like love to me. What would you say if I told you that Charlie might have a wife and two or three children?
Not possible.
What makes you think that?
Because I'm Charlie's wife and...
And?
Well, all right, you know about it. Doesn't matter now.
Did Rondo know about that?
No, and I should have told him. Then he'd have quit trying to date me and making Charlie so angry.
Did he hate Rondo enough to kill him?
No.
Did anybody in the circus hate Rondo?
No, Rondo was... Wait a minute. Rondo and Jim Bolton had a terrible argument the other day.
What about, you know?
About cards. They always played cards together, just the two of them.
An argument over cards, huh? Thanks, Louise. It may be over that little game of cards that Rondo drew the ace of spades. Faraday, you're sure nothing's been taken out of Rondo's dressing room since the murder?
No, the place has been under police guard ever since. What are you looking for, Blackie?
I'm not sure.
Fine.
Look, you don't have any case against Charlie until we find out why Rondo was killed. And that's something we might find here. Something like this pack of playing cards.
Okay, you got cards, so play solitaire. Leave me alone.
Wait a minute. And if my hunch is right, I think... It is right, Faraday.
What's right?
My hunch. Rondo was a cheat. These cards are marked. See the little design on the back of each card? That's a code telling him what's on the other side.
I know a marked deck when I see one. Okay, so Rondo was a cheat. So what?
Wait a minute. Somebody else might have marked the cards. Rondo found out about it, and that made him a marked man. Bolton, I know you have to be dressed before the circus opens this afternoon, but you can spare a few moments for Faraday and me, can't you?
Yes, of course, Blackie. Do anything I can to help.
Well, you can help a lot by letting me borrow that whip of yours.
Okay. There you are.
And, Blackie, you can help by saying something that makes sense.
I'm going to do something that makes sense, Faraday. Look at that rope over there, both of you.
Yeah, what about it?
Uh-huh.
I brought it in with me, but before I did, I cut it apart. Part of the way through.
I can see that.
This is the kind of rope that was thrown over the pulley to yank Rondo's trunk up into the air.
All right, we know that. The rope broke. Well, maybe it was partially cut, too. But how was it made to break at just the right moment? Unless a knife was thrown at it.
This is how it was made to break, just at the right moment. One good, well-placed crack of this whip. And there, it's It's cut as cleanly as if I'd use a knife.
Okay, so a whip was used to cut the rope all the way. It's possible. The part of the rope that came over the pulley was in darkness.
Yes, Inspector, it was.
Bolton, you realize you were the only one in the arena with a whip, don't you?
Well, there are a lot of whips in the circus.
There weren't a lot of people who played cards with Rondo, though.
Oh, you know about that, huh?
Yes, I found a little black book in Rondo's dressing room listing the money he lost to you. He threatened to expose you, and so you killed him.
All right. I cheated him at cards, and he found out about it. But now it's my turn to cheat.
Frankie's got a gun.
Neither one of you are going to move. Don't reach for a gun, either one of you, because I'm getting out of here. You, Faraday, keep your hands away from your pockets.
You're watching the wrong guy.
I'm going to break, Blackie. That whip got the gun out of his hands. Hold it. Now,
he'll hold it, or I'll wrap this whip around his neck. You know, Faraday, you always complain about my jokes.
That's all, Bolton.
But you'll have to admit that this whip just made the best crack of the year.
Popcorn, chewing gum, and cracking jack.
Well, we're back at the circus, Frankie. But this time, let's watch it.
Okay with me, Faraday.
Now, look, Frankie. Our case is washed up. We know Bolton killed Rondo. He also killed Joe, the guy who handled the rope that hoisted Rondo's trunk. Now, will you tell me how the trunk gimmick was supposed to work?
Sure, Inspector. The performer is handcuffed, and his legs are tied before they put him into the trunk, right?
That much I know.
Bracket.
So.
Anyhow, they put him in the trunk, lock the trunk, and put ropes around it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they raise the trunk up in the air and place it above the tank of water.
Yes, so?
So, while the trunk is in the air, the performer slips out of the handcuffs. They're not real cuffs, of course, and unties his leg.
Yeah.
Now, here's the tricky part. At the bottom of the trunk, there is a gimmick which has to be worked from the inside.
A false bottom, huh?
That's right.
So when the trunk hits the water, it's suspended halfway down on the tank, and the performer opens the bottom of the trunk, crawls out, slams the bottom shut again, and swims to the top.
Inspector, you're wonderful.
But there's more. When the rope was cut and the trunk went to the bottom of the tank, there was no way for the false bottom to be opened. So Rondo drowned, just as Bolton knew he would.
Faraday, it pains me to say this, but you're right again. But you know what broke the case, pal.
What?
Finding the marked cards that gave Bolton a motive. That was the big tip on the murder in the Big Top.
You know, of course, we never did get to see the circus, Blackie.
Oh, maybe not, but we had more fun than a circus, didn't we, Mary?
Mm-hmm. One of us did, you mean?
Oh, I didn't mind working a little bit.
Oh, well, I meant you had all the fun, and you know it. What do you do about taking me to really see the performance?
Not tonight, Mary.
Those words are vaguely familiar.
Some other time, maybe, but not tonight.
Mm, I seem to have heard that somewhere before, too. Oh, Blackie, what will I have to do to get you to take me?
Commit a murder, I imagine.
If I killed anybody, I'd do it too simply. You'd catch me in no time. I'm not the clever type.
I don't know why you say that. You picked me as a boyfriend.
I picked you? Why, you chased me for 2 years.
And then you caught me.
Oh, now, Blackie, I don't...
All right, Mary, apologize. And we will go to the circus tonight.
Maybe.
Just a second. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Blackie, this is Faraday.
Who told you?
Blackie, we never did get to see much of the circus, and my feet are tired. So come on down with Miss Wesley. I've got 3 tickets. I'll meet you there. Bye.
Well, Mary, we're going to the circus.
Oh, another murder, Blackie?
Yes, Faraday's feet are killing him.
Oh. Lovely day for a drive, ain't it, Edward? And there's a car going even slower.
Yeah, sure it is. Well, there's a smart fella driving. That's all I... Say, that's a real jalopy, ain't it?
Yeah, it is pretty old.
Well, I'll give him plenty of room. But, Mother!
Edward! Oh, that car went off the road.
But we never even touched him. He must have lost control. Look, Mother, the driver jumped out. He didn't go over with his car.
Thank Providence for that. Oh, he's coming over here. Maybe we can give him a lift. Hello there.
Hi.
Well, you sure had an error escape, stranger. What happened? The brakes go bad on you?
You're Mr. and Mrs. Mills, and you two just ran my car off the road.
How'd you know our names? What do you mean we run your car off the road? We never come close to you.
Yeah, that's your story.
It's the truth.
Mine is that you ran it off the road. And, brother, I'm not insured.
What you trying to do?
Oh, nothing much, Mrs. Mills. Just trying to make you and your husband a present of $500, that's all.
That's it for Case Closed this week and the last one of the year, but be back next Wednesday, January 2nd, with more. In between now and then, you can find more from Richard Diamond, Boston Blackie, past episodes of Case Closed, all our other shows, and everything else Relic Radio. As always, you can donate there if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your support is how it's all made possible. Thanks very much to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of Case Closed.